You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. You'll be hearing a lot from me over the next few weeks as Carol is taking some time away to work on a special project. But don't worry, she will be back at the helm soon. In this episode, I talk with David Arroyo about raising teen boys and how his family homeschooled during these years. Before we jump into the episode, I want to share with you a math program that can help you manage math for your family. CTC Math makes learning math easy and effective. Pat Murray uses creative graphics and animation in his short lessons to help kids understand math concepts with lots of time to practice what they've learned. Every grade level is included in one family-friendly price. And they even provide homeschool families with a special half-price discount. Start your free trial at ctcmath.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I'm back with our friend David Arroyo, who lives in California, a board member and dad of four kids. And David is such a blessing to our ministry. And I know he's blessed many of you listeners as he shared. But today we want to talk about specifically homeschooling boys. And in the seminars, Carol has often talked about how really school is not set up for boys to succeed. And so I just wanted to talk about how, David, you saw this with your boys as you took them out of the school environment and brought them home, and how the homeschool environment really made a huge difference in their life. So welcome back to the podcast. You could just start talking about that, what differences you saw with your boys.
All right. Thank you so much. Great to be with you again, Rachel. I think one of the things, each one of our boys was a little different. You know, we had Vidal was a high schooler or senior in high school. Luciano was getting ready to go into middle or high school. Joaquin was getting ready to go into middle school. So going through that phase, it was just a different, three different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think you've talked about how Luciano was more hyper, and maybe did you feel like, especially for the younger boys, like the school environment was just not as conducive for them?
Luciano specifically, he was a very popular kid in middle school. I mean, to the point that he was a sixth grader winning, like, where they vote, like, for
student body.
Yes, student body. He was beating eighth graders. Eighth graders, where their parents were protesting and having the school, like, we need a revote because I don't think that sixth grader beat an eighth grader. And sure enough, they did. And when they revoted, he actually got more votes because even eighth graders got upset.
Threw more attention to it.
Yeah. So, but Lucci was Mr. I mean, this kid was, I mean, he is just Mr. Chattybox, right? Mm. I mean, Joaquin was very quiet. Our youngest one was more quiet. Vidal too. Vidal, I mean, he was a combination of both. He could be very quiet when he wanted to be and focus in his own world, or he was Mr. Chattybox, you know, and stuff. With Luciano, it was really just my concern for him was more just, you know, he was a very popular kid. Sixth grade, seventh grade, and, you know, in eighth grade. And my whole concern with him was like, gosh, I just see this pressure of him trying to, you know, be relevant in the sense of being Mr. Popularity Kid, right? And so, and our schools here are South Orange County. I mean, they're really nice schools. You know, people pay a lot of Melrose and all this stuff for these schools. But the crazy thing is we didn't find out till later, till after Luciano graduated high school. But the problem that people don't realize, like, a lot of these families, you know, that are very successful, you know, their kids are raised, you know, by nannies and, you know, different things like this. And because, you know, the parents are very career driven, or they're just in their social life, right? They're just, you know, and stuff. But these kids get into a lot of they got too much time and too much money, and basically too many drugs that they get into, and partying and things like this, which we didn't realize that till later, till after Vidal or Luciano graduated high school, when he got reconnected with one of his middle school friends that also graduated. And, you know, he went to a party and he's like, Dad, most of the friends that I grew up in middle school, like, they're just party guys. And, you know, and even his other friend was just like, man, the best thing you ever did, Luciano, was homeschool. He's like, because most of our friends, they're like, they're into crazy drugs and, you know, and just partying. Like that, which was kind of like, gosh, who would have known? So it was kind of like what the Lord pressed in my heart, you know, early on in that crossroad that I had in my life, like, I don't know. It was just like my crossroad pivoted my focus to my kids. Like, what do you want to do with your life? You know, 'cause I'm trying to refigure it out in this new crossroad in my life. And that's when Luciano was basically that. I want to wrestle for the Olympics. And I believed him. I said, Luciano, I believe you could do it. I said, but the reality is you're probably not going to accomplish it because there's too many distractions. And I said, if you're very serious about wanting to wrestle for the Olympics, I would imagine it, there's a lot of sacrifices that need to happen in the sense of, like, you know, your time. You're not going to be, you know, Mr. Popularity guy hanging with your friends all the time.
Right.
I mean, it's a different, you're almost like saying, I want to become a kung fu monk. Okay. Well, yeah. You're going to go to the monastery.
Yeah. Life's going to look a little different for you now.
Yeah. And so I guess that's how I paralleled it in my mind, just, you know, with martial art backgrounds. I'm like, okay, so you want to be a Shaolin monk. All righty. Let me find out where what temple we could send you in China for 20 years so you can accomplish that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have just said, Dad, I want to be an astronaut. And I was like, okay, well, let me start looking to see how much rocket fuel it costs.
Right. Yeah. Like, how do we get to NASA? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with that, I you know, I was very honest with him. I said, you know, the only thing is life. There's either sacrifice or regrets. That's what I always tell my kids and stuff. And I think it's just from my own experience with a lot of regrets. You know, I'm just like, had I paid attention in school, you know what I mean? I would have probably, you know, had a different thing. But anyways, that's the different story. But I told them, I said, son, if you really want to wrestle for the Olympics, then yeah, we need to figure out a way. And that would allow you to be able to really make that your focus. But at the same time, you gotta be able to get into colleges, right? And so they're looking for certain SAT scores and things like this. So, you know, you can't obtain those by, you know, always hanging around with your friends and, you know, skateboarding or BMXing and things like that. So we did. And that's kind of what led us to Carol. So it was kind of a soul searching, but yet at the same time, like, okay, this kid wants to be an Olympian wrestler, you know, in that pursuit. And you know what? He didn't end up. He wrestled in college, which was huge, especially for a D1 program, which is you're wrestling with the best of the best. And, you know, Luciano faced a lot of obstacles along the way. Surgeries on his knees just from, you know, just getting hurt. I mean, it happens, you know, and that's why a lot of people say, you know, it's like athletes, the chances of you getting hurt, there's a lot of probability. So you can't just only rely on being a great athlete. You got to also educate yourself. And so we always knew that, like, it's not a one trick pony. We got to, you got to be that poet warrior, right? You got to study hard and, you know, but you got to also train hard, you know, they kind of counterbalance each other, to be honest with you. And so I think that's what our boys experienced, was that it wasn't one was taking one from the other. It's like, even wrestling, yeah, it's very physical, but it's also very mental.
Yeah.
There's strategy. There's, you know, and our oldest son, who's now a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, and he's pursuing that on his own time. They're doing his PhD. I mean, he's also like, Dad, like, the things that I'm learning in jiu-jitsu and, like, the mentality of conserving energy and how to, you know, economy of motion and, you know, things like this, that's also helping him with research and other things. And things that he's learning in research is helping him to think, you know, outside the box.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I think it's a very, they both really kind of complement each other. But I think a lot of the things when we decided to homeschool, especially taking our boys out, we didn't know the full benefits. We just knew what Carol basically preached in those seminars, and we believed it with blind faith. I guess the best way I could say it, it's like the Bible says, you know, you need to have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it was just like, Lord, I know I'm not the smartest guy, but everything Carol is saying, it is convicting my heart. And we're just like, yeah, we're buying into it. Oh, no technology. All right. Yeah. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we love playing video games. You know, I'm the reason my kids played video games, because I bought them the first PlayStation. You know what I mean? And
can't even blame it on anybody.
Yeah. I'm the one, the buck stops here, you know? And so with, like, hey boys, I'm the one that brought this in and I'm the one that's taking it out.
Yeah.
It's for your future, you know, and by us listening and us learning as a family, all the things that Carol would say in the seminars, and then we would attend to the seminars. It was just like, my kids were buying more into it. We were just okay, you know, by God's grace. And yeah. I think a library card, what Carol recommended.
And the library card.
I mean, I didn't have any other, like, you know, I mean, I didn't even know what that meant to wrestle, you know, at the college level or college level, less alone the Olympics. We were just like, okay, I think before you get to the Olympics, I think you got to wrestle in college. Okay, how are you going to get to college? You know, kind of like a reverse engineer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point about the peer dependency of that. I think a lot of parents underestimate the negative impact that peers can have. We kind of look with rose-colored glasses on, well, my kids need friends and they need to, you know, fit in and know how to interact with other people. And it's like, it really doesn't take a lot of time around people to learn how to interact with them. And the negative effects of being around the wrong people too much is actually like way outweighs the positive effects of being around, you know, of people that are in these high schools and middle schools of, you know, it's just huge classes. And have you read the book, Hold On to Your Kids?
No, I haven't.
No, it's about peer dependency and like keeping your kids close, not like sheltering them or keeping them from opportunities, but just the importance of maintaining that parent relationship, parent-child relationship, and not handing it over to their peers and to others.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times people think, well, we homeschool, we're going to homeschool our kids, we're going to shelter them, right? Because we want to shelter them. I've heard that many times that people say, I never had that mentality of like, I'm trying to shelter my kids. I literally was like, we're trying to raise poor warriors. We're trying to raise men and women that are going to stand strong, because I know the pressures, you know, just growing up myself and seeing my kids, like, you know, especially my middle son being very popular, like they can have the nicest friends. All of our kids' friends, even in the public schools, I mean, they're nice kids, but the problem is the peer pressure outside of even their own wheel, right? What's going on? What's popular? What's not? You know, kids are just so, it's a very crucial formation time, right? What kind of kids are we? I know my oldest son, to be honest with you, he always danced to his own beat, to his own, you know, he could care less. He would dress however he want. People would laugh at him or whatever. He didn't care. Like, that was like, he was just an artist. You know, he could care less and stuff. But I know that's not always for every kid. Yeah, I think, so on that book, tell me, because I think a lot of people, they get stuck on like, well, how's my kid going to be able to talk to people and stuff like that? And it's just like, kids are so smart. Whatever they're interested in, they can talk. You know what I mean? They learn those things, what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you put them in a bomb shelter in the basement or something like that. It's like, it's more that the parent, like kind of how you've been talking of that, the parent being the guide and being the partner. And then as they go out into the world, it's kind of helping to, I mean, the wise walk with the wise.
Yeah.
You want to really model and help your kids make those connections with people that are going to help them be wise. And obviously, as our kids get older, they need mentors and people outside of their parents, but helping them to be able to recognize who those people are. And Hold On to Your Kids just talks about the importance of attachment and the importance of, like, even for teens being connected with their parents. And I think that we just see them get older and we think, oh, they're on their own and they're independent and they want to go with their peers. But actually, a lot of times kids express preference for peers because they've already felt that their parents are closed off to them.
Mm.
And so when the parent, it's not because the child prefers the other kids, but it's because the parent has communicated, I'm not available to you. And so then they go, and then it creates this distance and the parent's thinking, oh, they prefer their kids. Or the parents reinforce that. It's actually, you know, and it's not that the kid, obviously, we all like to have friends. Kids will have friends and they, all those things. But you want it to be because of good, positive relationships with friends, not because you've pushed them away.
This is Carol Side here to recommend a wonderful Christian classic that will put fire in your soul. It's a book by John Piper called Don't Waste Your Life. In this book, John Piper talks about guarding our hearts from looking for personal pleasure and comfort and success, and instead to take risks for God and make sacrifices that matter for eternity. You can pick up a copy of this book wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/don't waste your life to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. I promise you, this book will not disappoint. Now back to our show.
And actually that some of those here problems happen because the parents don't have relationships first. And so when the children are friends, because there's like an overflow of the parents knowing one another, then it actually provides safety for the kids in their friendships and relationships. But when the parents don't know each other, then it makes the friendship more risky because there's no parents to help. Like, I mean, I've experienced this. I imagine every single parent has experienced this. It's much easier to help your child navigate difficulties with their friends if you personally know the parents.
Yeah.
When you don't know the parents, then it's like, okay, now you don't have a relationship. And then you're trying to now go to these people that you don't know and establish trust so that you can help your kids go through this conflict together.
Wow.
Like, and so if the parents know one another, then it makes the children's relationship with each other are derivative of the parents knowing one another rather than something that exists completely separate just because the children interacted together. And so, I mean, this can happen in so many different circumstances, even neighbors, you know, the kids can be interacting, but the parents don't necessarily know one another. So it's just so important for the parents to know one another. And it actually serves as a protection of the kids.
Wow. Well, you know, you mentioned something, because I was just thinking, I remember, this is a funny story, growing up in our neighborhood. I remember there was this boy that I wanted to be a friend with, right? He was like the neighbor boy, whatever. Uh-huh. And so I said, hey, you should come spend the night at our house or whatever. And so the mom's like, okay, let me go talk to your dad. So my friend and his mom, they come over to talk to my dad, right? So it's like meeting the neighbor. And the mom's like, Mr. Royal, is it my son? He wants to come spend the night with you or your son and hang out. Is that okay? And my dad, I remember my dad, like, that's okay with me, but I just want to let you know that if he gets out of line, he's all, I'll discipline him like I discipline my own kids. And I remember my neighbor, she's like, Mr. Royal, you can do whatever you need to do. You know what I mean? But I tell you this, my neighbor, I mean, he was an angel at our house. Because he knew the boundaries, you know, and stuff. But when he would go to his own house, he would get away with murder. But it's true. Like, it goes back to relationships. And I think this is the thing that it's about what kind of relationship you want to have with your kids. Like, to me, I've always looked at it like I only have my kids for a season of their life. It's a stewardship instead of me trying to control everything in their life, right? So preparing them to go out one day and, you know, start their own family. It's like, how do we continue that relationship, right? And stuff. And so it goes back to having that culture and being intentional and wanting to, like, this is a young boy right now, a young kid. One day he's going to be a man. And what kind of relationship do you want to have with that person? Do you want it to just be like, well, that's my dad, that's my son. Yeah, you know, we never really talked. We don't really know each other, you know? Or is it like, no, that's my dad. Like, you know, he's always, you know, he's always there for me in a sense.
Yeah.
I'll have conversations and stuff.
This is kind of switching gears, but how did you see, like, coming into a homeschool environment, like, see your kids, you know, would you say before they were homeschooled that it was kind of more drudgery, that they didn't necessarily enjoy learning and just kind of, you know, I heard Luciana talk about how he just read the same book over and over again to do the same report, you know, book report. And how did you kind of see that switch to like just doing what needed to be done in order to get the grade to a like true love of learning from your kid?
I think the best way to see it was the Diary of the Wimpy Kid. Luci's, like, I think he did it all middle school was his book report to falling in love to reading Jean Stratton Porter's Keeper of the Bees.
Mm.
And, you know, I remember Carol in her seminars always talking about, you don't distinguish the love of reading in your kids. Like, don't make the new book reports. Don't, you know, but, you know, as parents, we're like, we second guess ourselves. We're thinking, well, is my kid really learning? Is he going to, you know, and stuff, but driving to practice and I just remember, I was just like, so Luciano, what are you learning in that book? And he was just like, oh, Dad, and they're telling me about the bees and this and the Scottish guy. And, you know, and I was just like, yeah, I don't need to worry about a book report. This kid,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Luciano in middle school, I remember one of the report cards, he came home and he had an F. And to me, that was like, that brought back a lot of bad memories. That was me. I was like, F kid. And so it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this kid is too, he's too much like me. He's too distracted. He's not focused. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what I mean? And so I remember I told Luciano, I said, Luciano, if you come home with another F, your punishment is you don't get to wrestle, because he loved to wrestle so much. He was, I mean, he came back with a C, I think, that time. But that was still in the school system. But when we started homeschooling, yeah, him just falling in love with the books. I think him going out in nature, especially with his GSP, his German short hair pointer dog, which is a very hyper dog. I guess it's probably the next dog under the Belgian Malinois. You know what I mean? So we'll tear your house apart. This dog has too much energy, 24/7. And so I think that helped him getting out there in nature, training his dog. And he really dedicated himself to his dog. But yeah, when I started seeing the contrast of like, this kid was doing book reports year after year on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid to fall in love with Gene Shannon Porter as one of his favorite authors, you know, and reading. And we would have the kids also read to us. That would also, they love doing that. I think it's always, you know, great for them. My wife would read to them. I would sometimes read to them when I would come home and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just started to just surround ourselves with books and remodel the house. It's like, where there used to be a TV, now we're going to put a bookshelf there. You know what I mean? And
so, right.
And to the point, like, I used to have this fish tank that I loved, you know, it's like a 72 gallon fish tank. I had to get rid of it, 'cause I'm like, there's no more room for books, you know? And it was the great,
we can't give those away.
Yeah. I was the greatest thing. I was just like, oh my gosh, I have more room for books. And so, you know, but even like, you know, our oldest, it's his birthday this tomorrow, actually. And all he wanted for his birthday was books. And I can't tell you, like, the whole family were like, it's Vidal's birthday, he wants books. So everybody was like chipping in, and we got him books. And so he's going to get bombarded with Amazon with a bunch of books, you know. And it's just like, this is a kid that's doing his PhD, and, you know, and he just loves books. And I think it goes back to Carol's method of like your kids, allowing them to become lovers of good books, you know, and it will continue with them. And so I think in the future, I think our obsession is going to be building libraries, you know, in that sense, because it's like, yeah, it's one of the greatest treasures.
Yeah. How did you see history? Did your boys really love learning history and making it the core of your learning as a family?
Yes, I think Lucci, I think he spoke a lot about history and yeah, my kids, especially the gladiators and the Romans and, you know, things like this. I mean, we're still learning about history, right? I mean, you had, what is it? Our Secretary of State was talking about how the cowboys came from the Spaniards, right? And stuff like that. So we just started digging on that. We're like, oh my gosh, yeah, the Wild West is directly connected to, you know, the cowboys and, you know, in Spain and stuff like that. But history is amazing. And I think this is something that I've always loved history, but I didn't do good in school in history, but it was more for me just traveling and learning. And then now, since my kids started to homeschool, it's like, hey, I'm falling in love with just learning about history. And things tend to repeat themselves when we don't learn from history, right?
Yeah.
Good and bad.
This is great. And this is a real encouragement, I think, to people as they think about just bringing their kids home and being present in their kid's life. And I love the poet warrior phrase that you've coined. I don't know if that's original to you, if you've stolen it.
No, I took it from the movie a long time ago.
But it's from Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. It's from Braveheart.
Okay.
It's from Braveheart. You know, it's the uncle. He comes in and he tells young William Wallace. You know, William Wallace, you know, he lost his dad and his brother, you know, in the fight there they had. And so this uncle, I think it's called Argyle, Uncle Argyle, comes on with a white horse, beautiful white horse and stuff. the little young William Wallace is like, I want to learn how to fight, you know, with a sword. He's like, I'll teach you that. He's like, but it's our wits that make us men. And mm-hmm. that movie really like stood to me. I always tell my kids, even now, I'm always quoting them The Godfather, the Braveheart, The Gladiator, What We Do, Echoing Eternity. Like, that's how I'm a simpleton. So I'm less like, all right, I'm these things and connecting it to Carol's method and somehow. But no, it's and so I think my kids, you know, also they know that phrase very well in terms of it's being a learner. One of the things that really I saw or heard the other day was talking about, you know, when fathers aren't present, the algorithms will shape your kids. Mm. And it's about, I look and I go, gosh, if I didn't throw those devices out and if we didn't go full blind faith connecting, you know, to Carol and her method, like, I mean, our algorithm would be raising our kids and their mentality, their way that their worldviews and all these things. So yeah, it's definitely a story of grace in our family that we discovered Carol and that we were simpleton enough to just believe it. You know what I mean? And everything she said, I mean, what I always loved in Carol from her first seminar going, I always loved, like, she'll tell you these things and then she'll bring these articles and all this family in Silicon Valley and stuff like that. I love that. And I always tell my kids, and my oldest one who's loves research, I they're like, Dad, you're a researcher. You just don't know it. You just didn't have the opportunity. Like, because you'll hear something and then you're like, you go research it and on all sides, what a good and bad say about it and stuff. So I think it's about just being a researcher and questioning things. I think a lot of the times us as parents, our kids will question our faith and a lot of times parents will get rattled and I'm like, yeah, it's like, how does it become their faith that they don't question it? If they don't honestly ask the Lord, Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It has to become real to them. You know, what, because I know I've had to question, you know, the Lord in the sense of not question the Lord, but in my faith, like, Lord, I don't understand. And, you know, and being very honest with the Lord. You know, I think the Lord wants us to be honest because he wants to show us, what he has and his truths and speak to us. But if we're not showing up and we're not questioning and we're not asking, Lord, well, why is this? I don't understand why. And, you know, a lot of times if you don't question those things, how do you come to those realizations? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to give our kids that ability to question.
Yeah, the questions in and of themselves aren't the problem. It's having that process to say, how do we answer these questions? Where do we go? And then as we read and understand what makes sense, what do we settle? What lines up here?
Exactly. It's not like the Lord is going to be offended, right? He wants us to be real. He wants us to be, you know, real in our faith, not phony, not just, oh, okay, you know, he wants us to be real and question. And I truly believe if we truly seek truth, like the Bible says, God will reveal that truth to us. You know, if we truly seek treasure and wanting to know the truth, or if we just want, you know, you to tell me because I want to do this. No, it's if we're really seeking truth, God will reveal the truth to us and speak to us. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of these atheists, when they really question and they really are really seeking truth, I was an atheist and I came to and I questioned and sure enough, God revealed himself. Yeah, because limited by our questions, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And God is actually very logical.
Yeah, it's funny because the whole, you know, poet warrior thing I think of the brain too, the right brain, the left brain, right? The creativity, the logic. Like we are made up of both in a sense. Like we can think men tend to be very logical. Women tend to be, you know what I mean? It's more emotional, but both of those are a balance. You know, it's just like the brain, the creativity and the logic. You know, we don't have to be a one-sided brain human. You know, we could, you know, even somebody that does spreadsheets, you can be creative in making spreadsheets. You know, you can use that creativity. You don't have to think, well, I'm just a numbers guy. Well, no, you're not, because we're made in the image of God, right? We have both. We have it in us to be creative. You know, I think the problem is when we start worshiping our own creation and our own creativity, but it's like, no, it's God is the one. We're just made in his image. You know?
Yeah, I like that. I haven't ever thought about it as a whole brain way of educating. You know, that's really what we're doing is saying we want to educate the whole person. The whole brain, both sides, and not just appeal to one side or the other, but really to engage the whole person, whole child.
Exactly. Just like a poet warrior.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Thank you. I think that's going to be a new phrase that people carry around in their tool belts now.
So I love it.
Thanks for sharing, David.
Of course.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.